Hello and welcome to Let the Bird Fly, a podcast about living freely in a world given back to us. This is Wade here for a Winging It session, and today we will be discussing briefly a new book that has been put out by Concordia Publishing House, edited by Albert Culver III, James A. Nestegan, and John T. Pless. The book is The Necessary Distinction, a continuing conversation on law and gospel. And it is a very recent book that was the product of some dialogue, some ongoing discussions between two church bodies, the NALC, the North American Lutheran Church, which is a church that formed largely by people who have left the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, I think because of a number of developments, but especially some decisions that were made in that church body regarding human sexuality and things of that nature. Those of you in the Lutheran world will be familiar with some of these things. The book includes a number of essays, a collection of essays by a number of people whose names some of you might be familiar with and others maybe not so much, but if you tend to be a reader or you tend to listen to many Lutheran podcasts or look up Lutheran stuff on YouTube, you might recognize some of the names. John Pless, of course, would be one from Fort Wayne that some might be familiar with. William Swirla, Pat Swirla, a pastor out in California who has written things for Logia in the past, some very worthwhile things. I know his sermons in the past were online and helpful for a number of pastors who were maybe looking for ideas as they were engaging with the text. Dr. Mark Mattis, who is at Grandview, if I'm not mistaken, who has a wonderful book, maybe we'll review that coming up sometime too, on Luther's Theology of Beauty. James Nestegan, if you've ever looked up Dr. Nestegan on YouTube, there's a number of lectures he's done that are just fantastic that I think you would enjoy, and he just puts a wonderful voice on some wonderful Lutheran topics. Stephen Paulson, his writing some of you may be familiar with, those from Wells or LCMS circles might be familiar with the presentation or presentations he had given at some of the free conferences at Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota, where I did my undergrad work. And one of his papers from that free conference, The Royal Ass, is included in this book. Roland Ziegler, a professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, has done some very helpful and interesting work as well, and has a very interesting essay in this book. I think I've mentioned a number of them then, and I don't mean to overlook others, but I don't want to belabor you with the table of contents and the authors. But this book, which is definitely a dialogue or a conversation on law and gospel, and one that acknowledges that law and gospel, and I think very rightly so, that law and gospel is the necessary distinction in law and gospel. It is just the lens through which Luther read the scriptures, and through which I think Lutherans at their best have read the scriptures since, and also the lens, I would argue, through which Paul read the scriptures as well, as we can see in Galatians and in Romans. I myself have an endorsement of this book that's included in the opening pages, and I've read through it now, some of the essays three times, and I'm still just very happy with the overall quality of the essays that are included in this book. There are some essays I agree with to a greater extent or a lesser extent, and that's not always agree with to a lesser extent because I think there's necessarily false teaching or anything in them. There's a lot of theological nuance, and there's various exegetical takes that take place in the various essays where just simply I maybe wouldn't go the same way as far as emphases or readings of a specific text as some of the authors did. But there's others that I just find to be extremely helpful in clarifying for some difficult questions that come up in Lutheran theology. I recommend the book for Lutheran pastors, pastors from my own synod, the Wisconsin Synod, the Missouri Synod, the NALC. I think pastors in the ELCA as well would benefit richly from wrestling through some of these issues of law and gospel, refreshing in their minds the importance of this distinction. And I think it would benefit both their own theological study, but their preaching too, as they approach the texts that come up in the church here with hopefully a renewed appreciation for what the preaching task is all about, which is the distinction, distinguishing law and gospel, and getting Christ to the people for the forgiveness of sins once they have been struck by the accusations and terrors of the law. There's been some varying sorts of chatter online about the book, much of it by people who admit they have not read it. And I do think the easiest way for someone to get a take on if the book is worthwhile is to actually engage with it and to read it. I have a really hard time believing that someone could read through this book and not think they got their money's worth, at least. Maybe they would be challenged by some stuff. Maybe they might not agree with everything. But I think they would find there is just a lot of solid meat, good content, and a lot of stuff, questions asked to be thought through that are just beneficial to wrestle with. Sorry, I can't talk today. For some reason, I was having that same issue in class. What I would recommend for pastors or for lay people, and I do think this is a book that lay people could benefit from too. If you're just a lay person getting into Lutheran theology starting out, this isn't where I would jump right away by any means. But I think if you're a lay person who's interested in Lutheran theology, you know your catechism, you've spent a while hearing Lutheran preaching, you're familiar with some key Lutheran terminology, I think you could benefit from this as well. And I think there's certain essays, more so than others, but that are very helpful essays that you could get through, read them once, and you've got them down. Others you might want to read twice, and you'll have them down. And then there's a few that maybe I just wouldn't recommend to a layperson as a starting point or anything of that nature. But I do think there are some that would be very beneficial for anyone. But what I would do, what I would suggest doing, for those interested in this book, is read through and then get out your Book of Concord. If you don't have one, get one. And read through the Formula of Concord. You can start with the Epitome, the shorter section, and read especially the articles of the Formula of Concord that deal directly with the issues raised in this book. You know, Article 2 on the free will, Article 6 on the third use. These are things that I've seen some come up with concerns about with the book, perhaps. Once again, many of them who have not read it yet. And I think you'll find that key themes of the formula are being engaged, are being brought up, and actually being articulated very well in some of these essays and in very helpful ways. And so I would do that. And then on top of that, after working through the Formula of Concord, take yourself through the Large Catechism and be reminded how Luther works with some of these things too as he approaches law and gospel. I know one of the things that people have brought up is some of the essays dealing with the third use, and sometimes the phrase is used, the so-called third use of the law. I find a little bit of this concern over this somewhat humorous, since there's established history of people using that phrase, the so-called third use of the law. I think it's used, the authors themselves make clear, not necessarily in a denial of the third use, but just that the third use in the Formula of Concord is not given a name besides the third use. In fact, it's given a number of different descriptions, you know, pedagogical or didactic, things of this nature. And so it, I think when you read the essays, and I think especially Mark Matty's essay, Properly Distinguishing Law and Gospel as the Pastor's Calling, you'll see the authors do articulate, I think, fairly well the role of the third use and the role of the ongoing role of the law, or need for the law is a better way of saying it, in the life of the Christian after conversion. Obviously, the new man is now free and spontaneous and works. That is, it's not under the compulsion of the law, but the old Adam, the sinful nature, still needs the law. And this is where the third use comes in an instructive manner for exhortation and things of this sort. But I think those who actually engage this book will be very richly blessed by doing so, and will benefit greatly from doing so. As far as my personal favorite, as far as the essays that are included in this, I would just have to say that it probably changes based upon what I'm doing research with, or what I'm engaging with in my own life, and I also think would vary insofar as what I am, you know, someone's coming to me with questions and what I know they're interested in and would like to grow deeper in. But I will say I deeply enjoyed both of Pless's essays. Steve Paulson's essay, The Royal Ass, I was familiar with before, but it's one I've gone back to a number of times for just a strong explication of the bondage of the will and its implications for our theology, and I think for pastoral care as well. William Swirla's, as is normally the case, takes theology, roots it in the parish life and the pastor's work, maintaining law and gospel and liturgy. I think a lot of pastors are going to find this extremely helpful. Mark Mattis is always good on properly distinguishing law and gospel as the pastor's calling. James Nestegan, I just always enjoy his writing, and while we come from different church bodies and we surely would have some areas of disagreement, he has a way of taking difficult concepts and making them very accessible and understandable and expressing them in a extremely pastoral way, and I think that shows a special gift that people have when they're able to do that. But I think all of the essays are extremely worth reading. One, you know, that I have my personal disagreements with would be Stephen Holtgren. I hope I'm saying his name right. I'm sure I'm butchering a number of names here. There's a number of these people that I know and I've met personally, but never been quite sure on the last name pronunciation, so I'll have to be forgiven. I'm sure several of them would call me Wade Johnson if they were talking about me, so hopefully they'll reciprocate any forgiveness I would show. But his The Problem of Freedom Today and The Third Use of the Law, Biblical and Theological Considerations, I think he's bringing in a lot of just great scholarship, and he's clearly done his work. And he does make his case for what he's advocating. I don't agree with his take on his reading of Romans 7. That being said, he's not the only one who reads it the way he does. I do think Paul is talking about himself. This is the traditional Lutheran way of reading Romans 7. I'm not a huge fan of the new perspectives on Paul. New perspective on Paul when it comes to some of these things. But that's not to say that there aren't reasons for him to draw the conclusions that he does. I think even that one pastors would find extremely helpful, and there might be people who read it and you know, find it more beneficial or agree with it more than I did. But from first to last, I find the essays to be worthwhile, and I think there's a lot of things to chew on in it. And so I hope if you're interested in these topics, you know, there is an article in the Formula of Concord on Law and Gospel, Article 5. That's another one to read through. I mentioned Article 2 and 6 already because of some of the things people have had to say about the book. But if you do pick it up, read through it, but then don't stop there. Get into the formula. Get into the Large Catechism. I myself am personally very grateful to the editors of this volume, all three of them who have fine essays in it, for having put it forth. I think this is a discussion that the Lutheran Church should be having and needs to have. If you've listened to the podcast, you know that all of us are very interested in seeing, renewed emphasis in preaching on law and gospel and on Christ as the center of the scriptures. And I think this is a step towards getting us as pastors and as lay people to think about what we should be doing in the pulpit and what we should be expecting to hear from it. So if you do pick it up, let us know, let the bird fly, what you think, if you've enjoyed it. And, at the same time, too, if you do enjoy it, then maybe consider spreading the word about it, too. I know the authors would appreciate that. But I do think this really is a helpful contribution to Lutheranism in our day and something that we should be thinking through. Agree or disagree with some of the stuff, you're free to do that. That's the wonderful thing about a discussion or a dialogue. Concordia Publishing House makes clear that's what this is. It didn't go through the doctrinal review process there. Although, they kind of are emphasizing this a little more maybe than I would, but I get their concern. But I don't think this is some dangerous book which is going to do anyone harm. I think there's a lot in here that would be very good food for thought. So I'm going too long on this for a Winging It session. Maybe think about picking it up. I'm hoping maybe sometime we can have an episode on this, maybe get one of the authors on or one of the editors to talk about the book. But it's, once again, The Necessary Distinction, a continuing conversation on law and gospel, edited by Albert Culver III, James A. Nestingen, and John T. Pless. So, with that in mind, read it or don't read it, that is up to you, but no matter what, I hope you'll join me in continuing to live freely and let the bird fly.
Every evening when the sun goes down, get with my party and I begin to cry. I don't care what the people are thinking, I'm not drunk, I'm just a drinker. I set him up, another round, I set him up, another round, I set him up. Another round, one more round won't get me down. Came home last night, all full of lush. My babe began to fuss, and I said, honey, I don't care what the